Good to see you all here again this evening. Hope you had a restful afternoon. If you would turn with me to the book of Jonah. We will look at him this evening. We often refer to him as Jonah and the whale, or people in the world do. It says nothing about a whale. It says something about a great fish, however. But a lot of times you'll ask someone about Jonah, or when you ask someone about Jonah, that's what they're going to tell you about him. That he was swallowed by a great fish, or a whale, as some would say in error. But why was he swallowed by that great fish? What does that have to do with his account here in the book of Jonah, where we read all about him? There are a couple of other places where he is mentioned, some in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then over in the Kings, I believe. And here we see the bulk of Jonah, and what his life was, and the things that we know about him are here in these four chapters, a small book. And I think we can learn a lot from Jonah and the things that he did and how the Lord dealt with him, some things that he made mistakes about, and things that we can heed in our lives. You know, everything is written for our learning, so that we can have that hope of eternal life through the understanding of the faults of those in the Old Testament and also the success of those in the Old Testament. We can learn from what they did, and we can apply it to our lives so we don't make the same mistakes, and so that we can look toward their success and the positive things they did in their life to make sure that we do them as well. And so I want to look at Jonah this evening. And starting in verse 1, we read that the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Right away we see something we can learn from this, that the Lord wants us to go and preach. He commands us, just as he commanded Jonah, to go and preach. And here's another thing, that this is Nineveh, a Gentile nation. These are not Hebrews. These are not a part of that Israelite nation, the chosen people of God. And yet he wants them to hear the message. He wants them to be warned about the wrath that is going to come upon them. He says, "Their wickedness has come up before me." And he wants him to cry out against them. Allow them to repent and understand that they are in sin and they need to repent of their sins. In Mark the 16th chapter in verse 15, Jesus says, "Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And we need to understand that. That the gospel is not just for us here that know about it, that have obeyed it. It is for those that are in the world that don't know about it. And we need to go preach it to them. We have that responsibility, just as Jonah had, to preach to those Gentile nations, figuratively speaking, as we are those spiritual people of Israel, there are those spiritual Gentiles out there who do not know God, who are unrepentant of their sins, and they're in sin, and they need the message preached to them. But we see that Jonah fled to Tarshish. He didn't want to preach to them. And we'll read later a little bit more about this attitude, that he had a sectarian spirit. He didn't want to preach to those people in Nineveh. And we have no right to hold back the gospel from anyone in this world. James 2 in verse 1 tells us to not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. You address someone at work who maybe you don't really like that much, but they have some interest in the gospel. You have no right to hold that from them, withhold that from them. We have no right to have an opportunity to preach the gospel and bring someone to the knowledge of the truth and neglect them of that just because we don't want to do it at that time. We're too lazy to do it. Perhaps we don't like that individual. We have no right to withhold the gospel from those individuals. We see in verse 4 that when Jonah departed to Tarshish, the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. There was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots, so that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they said to him, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country? Of what people are you? He said, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. The men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? For the men who knew he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, what shall we do to you, that the sea may be calm for us? The sea was growing more tempestuous, and he said to them, pick me up, throw me into the sea, and the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this tempest is because of me. And we understand that as he fled from the Lord, maybe hiding from the Lord, that he could not hide his sin. He could not hide from the Lord. The Lord knew where he was. The Lord knew what he was doing. He knew he was withholding this message that he told him specifically to go preach to Nineveh. And we can't do the same. We understand that in Acts 8, in the fourth Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, when the disciples were scattered, that those who were scattered went everywhere preaching about the word. And we have that same responsibility today as Christians. We need to preach the gospel just as those Christians did in Acts. We talk about how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel, who bring glad tidings of peace. Those are preachers. That is their occupation. I don't think that's talking specifically about those who are preaching for a living. It's talking about Christians. We need to go and preach. We all have that command and that responsibility. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, Ephesians 2 and verse 10. And that's one of the works we are created for, to spread the gospel. We sing a song, and I think it's in the hymns for worship, the world's Bible. Christ has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in his way. And that's not saying that God is incapable of showing man his way. He gave us the Bible, and this is the means by which we go and find his will and apply it to our lives. And he wants us, as people who have found that out and have applied it to our lives, to share that good news to others. We don't get that response. We don't have that opportunity or that right to hold the gospel for ourselves, to hold this good news for ourselves. For it has appeared to all men. It is for all men, and we are to preach it to every creature. We see later on, he said to them to pick them up, and the tempest will stop. And the men rowed hard and returned to the land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life. Do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, our Lord, have done as it has pleased you. So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea. The sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So here we see the reason that great fish swallowed him. Because Jonah was fleeing from the Lord, not obeying his command, neglecting to preach the word to those people of Nineveh, and the Lord punished him in doing so. He caused that tempestuous sea to rage and rant about, and it caused them to throw him into the sea, and he was swallowed by a great fish. And we come to the second point, the first being that God commands us to preach. We need to preach. It is a responsibility of us. But we see here in chapter 2 that Jonah recognized that he did something wrong in the sight of the Lord, that he was not in the right sight with the Lord, that he was in that state of rebellion and fleeing from the Lord because he did not want to go to Nineveh. So Jonah prayed in chapter 2 and verse 1 to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. He said, I cried out to the Lord because my affliction, and he answered me. Now the following seems to be written kind of like a psalm. It's written almost like he's looking back at this and recounting this. Not something that he said when he was in the belly of the fish, some of what he said, but he's looking back at this and recounting this. He says, out of the belly of Sheol I cried. You heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The water surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountain. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. You have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pray what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out onto dry land. And what we see here is that the Lord forgives upon repentance. Jonah understood why he was in the belly of that great fish. He was being taught a lesson. I told you to do something, you didn't do it, now you're being punished for this. And he cried out to the Lord with thanksgiving for showing him his faults and showing him where he was wrong and showing him the way back to him. He says in verse 4 that he has been cast out of his sight, that is God's sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. He will look again toward the Lord. We see in Acts chapter 2 that those Jews, upon hearing the gospel sermon, that first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost preached, that the Jesus whom the Lord has raised, both Christ and Lord and Savior of them, they have crucified. And because of this, they were cut to the heart. They recognized what they had done and what did they do to make that right with God. They said, "What, men and brethren, what must we do?" And Peter said, "Repent." That is the first step. You have to turn from your sin. You have to turn away. We see in the last two verses that he said he prayed to the Lord with the voice of thanksgiving, and he will pay what he has vowed. Him being that messenger of the Lord, giving his life to the Lord, and the Lord expecting him to preach that message. And he said, "I'm going to follow up on this. I wasn't going to at the beginning. I see where I'm wrong. I'm going to change now." And he recognized that salvation is of the Lord. It's not of Jonah. It's not of me. It's not of Paul, Apollos, Cephas. It's of Christ. It's of the Lord, as we talked about this morning. That he doesn't have that right to withhold this message from the people of Nineveh. And he said, salvation is of the Lord. And so he's going to go to Nineveh and follow up on this promise that he has given. We know that godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation. He had repentance. This led to his forgiveness, and he has hope again. And when we repent of our sins, we have that hope of eternal life. But when we're in that sin, we're unrepentant of that sin, we don't have fellowship with God. We don't have that hope. And 1 John, the first chapter in verse 9, tells us if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here we see Jonah repented. He confessed what he had done, that he had withheld this message. He ran from the Lord and departed from him in an effort to hide from him. It did not work. He understands why he's in the belly of the fish. He understands why the sea was tempestuous. He understands why these things were happening. It was because the Lord was punishing him. He needed to turn away from his rebellion and turn back to the Lord. And so we look toward the Lord. In chapter 3, we see that he consummates this repentance and going back to do what the Lord told him to do. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Here Jonah is fulfilling this command. And we learn here that the Lord is not willing that any should perish. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, we see just this, that he's not slack concerning his promise. He's going to come back. He's going to punish those who deserve this punishment. But he's not slack concerning his promise, as some clout slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jonah didn't have the right to withhold the message because he didn't know what the people of Nineveh were capable of. He didn't understand that they deserve this second chance. They deserve to hear this message preached to them so they can repent just as much as he deserved that second chance that the Lord gave him to do what he commanded him to do in the first place. And another lesson we learn here, going through the rest of chapter 3, is that we don't know if someone is going to receive this message until we've sown that word in their heart. And then it's up to them. We see the parable of the sower in the four Gospels, and Jesus is talking about sowing the seed and how that seed is perfect. It is incorruptible. It is flawless. It is complete. It will bear fruit if it has good soil. And so we don't know the hearts of any. The Lord knows the hearts. The Word is a discerner of the heart, thoughts and intents of the heart. And we can't know their thoughts and intents until we sow the Word. We have no right withholding this seed from them. For all we know, it will cultivate and it will bring forth fruit in its due season. And we'll see that here in the third chapter. Because the people of Nineveh believed God in verse 5. Proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then word came to the king of Nineveh. He arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way, from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish?" Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. We remember two terrible cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, who were full of immorality and they were corrupt with sin. And we have Abraham that is not wanting that place to perish. He had his nephew Lot there. And the Lord said, "If you find some righteous individuals there, I will spare the city." And so the Lord is not willing that we should perish, or anyone that should perish, especially here in those people that were in Nineveh. And he accepts repentance. He accepts a change of heart and a dedication to him. And when that happens, he's going to follow up on his promise of forgiveness. And he is going to relent from that destruction that he had planned for them, just as the people in Nineveh. We don't know what people are going to accept the word. We don't know who is going to repent. We don't know who is going to change their lives for the better. There are people who have obeyed the gospel that you would have thought they were the last people to do so, because someone went out of their way and decided, "I'm going to give you the word. I'm going to preach it to you because salvation is of the Lord and I have no right to keep it back." And Jonah understood this now, that the Lord gave him a second chance and he had an opportunity to fulfill that command of the Lord, and he went to Nineveh and preached. And what happened? Something positive came of it. They did not reject the word. They accepted it. They changed their minds. They changed their ways. And because of that, the disaster of the Lord that he said he would bring upon them, he relented from it. He did not punish them in verse 10. He kept back his anger and he accepted their repentance. We have to preach the word. There are people out there that just need us to bring them the word and teach them the gospel. And they have a hope of eternal life. If we do that, if they accept the word, and if we hold it back from them, how much more will the Lord punish us for being neglectful of our fellow man, of being those people who were apathetic and not wanting to care for those people of the world and preach the gospel. He made the sea rise about Jonah, made a great fish swallow him. We are commanded to preach the word. As baptism is a necessity for salvation, preaching the word is a necessity for a Christian to please God. We've got to preach the message. There are people out there in need of it. Someone has said before, someone who doesn't believe in hell, this is the reason. If there was something like hell, if that existed, then why are we sitting around? Wouldn't we be trying to save as many people from that destruction as possible? And I agree with that. Hell is real. And we need to save as many souls from that destruction. And if we don't, we show our neglect to the world. We show our carelessness to our fellow man. We are no better than the person sitting next to us, than the person out there living in sin. The only difference is we've accepted God's grace. We haven't done anything to deserve it. They haven't done anything to deserve it. But we can't hold it back from them, because God has given it to them. He's prepared this for them, not just you. Not just me, Everyone has a hope, or should have that hope through that grace that is in Christ, and we should not hold it back from them. We see in verse 1 of chapter 4 that despite everything that happened to Jonah, there's still something wrong in that mind of his. He's got a messed up view of this life. And we see here that he has a sectarian spirit. He didn't care as much for those people of Nineveh as he should have. In verse 1, it says it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Then the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Why in the world would Jonah be angry that the people of Nineveh repented of their sins and they were not destroyed because of their repentance? Why wouldn't he have a care for them and a love for them, as we are called to love all men? We see in Romans 12:18 that Paul says, "If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." That's an act of love that we show, that charity, that agape love. We are also in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 to make prayers and supplications for all men. Are we praying for those in the world that are lost, for them to come to the knowledge of the truth? Are we caring for our fellow man? Are we neglecting them, hoping that they don't find the word because we don't like them very much and we don't want them to come into the church? Jonah did not want Nineveh to repent. He wanted them to be destroyed. Do we want that for the same for the people out in the world? We need to examine ourselves and be honest with ourselves, because we need to have a genuine love for all men, just as God does. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do we love the world as God loved the world? Obviously not enough, but we are called to love our fellow man. We are called to spread the gospel to them so they can have the same hope that we have. Following on, beginning in verse 5, we see the extent of this. How much Jonah wanted them to be destroyed and how little he cared for those people of Nineveh. Jonah went out of the city, in verse 5, and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." Then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" And he said, "It is right for me to be angry, even to death." But notice what the Lord said. "You have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it groan, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and much livestock?" In other words, he said, "You care so much for this plant and so little for Nineveh." That's a little lopsided, isn't it? We should care more for our fellow man. Jonah should care more for those people in Nineveh than a measly little plant. Sometimes we fall into this, maybe not to that extreme, but we care more about our possessions, about our time, about our interests than the souls of the individuals out in this world. And we need to check ourselves and check our attitude. Are we really the workmanship that Christ has created for us for good works, that he has prepared beforehand that we should go and preach the gospel to every nation, to all creatures, that he who believes and is baptized will be saved? Are we fulfilling that command? Because if not, we're not pleasing to the Lord. We have to take every opportunity we can to preach the gospel. We have to get out of our comfort zone and preach the gospel. We have to make an effort, and we have to care for our fellow man. Jonah cared more about a plant than those people of Nineveh. What about us? We talk about the racism back then and how it, some of it's still here now. If you paid attention to the news, the LA Clippers owner said some racist comments and got banned for life from the NBA. That's still here and present. It's still in the generation of my mother and father that were taught like that and brought up like that. It's not because you were raised like that. Maybe you have that tendency because you were raised like that. That's no excuse. We've got to get rid of that. We are not to hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. There is no male nor female, Jew nor Greek. There is no slave nor free. We are all in Christ. We have all that hope of eternal life if we come to that knowledge of the truth. The word of God, the grace of God in Titus 2:11 that brings salvation has appeared to all men. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And none of us deserve this, but God's given it to us. And we don't have the right as Christians to hold it back from the world. We have to go and preach the gospel. In Matthew 5 and verse 43, Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies." We need to have a love for all of mankind. It doesn't matter what they've done to you, how they've acted toward you. And even if they hate religion and the idea of God so much, you give them that gospel and then you don't cast your pearls before the swine. But you've got to give it to them so you know. Because we don't know. Jonah didn't know if the children of Nineveh would repent. He said, I wish they didn't repent, but you're so gracious. I wish you would have destroyed them, but you are so gracious. I knew you were going to relent from your anger if they repented. But he wanted them to be destroyed. We have to love men. We have to have a healthy love and a common love for the souls of individuals throughout this world. Because we are the workmanship. We are the only Bible the careless world will read. We show the glory of God through our righteous works. And the men see the glory of God through our righteous works. We are Christians to be conformed to the image of Christ. Christ didn't withhold the message. We shouldn't either. If we are truly trying to imitate Christ and be like God, then we are going to preach the gospel because he has made it appear to all men. Jonah didn't care about the children, the people of Nineveh. He didn't want the gospel preached to them. He didn't want that message preached to them. But when he did it, they repented. So we need to go into every opportunity that we have and take it and have that positive outlook that there is a possibility that this person repents of their sins and I have a new brother or sister in Christ. And that's something to rejoice about, not to be sorry about. If you are here this evening, short lesson, if you are here this evening, you have not obeyed the gospel. Just like the people of Nineveh, you have an opportunity right now to repent of your sins before it's too late. If Nineveh did not repent of their sins and turn to God and start living righteous lives, then God would have destroyed them just as he promised before. He would have destroyed them just as he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And the same is for you today. If you don't repent, you're going to be destroyed in hell for eternity, an eternal perdition, a punishment from the presence of the Lord. And it is promised to you. But all you have to do is repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And you will live a life that is righteous and pleasing to the Lord. And then you are promised that crown of life. It's promised to all of those who love the Lord. And it's promised to anyone who comes to him. And it is there and available for all of us. If you have obeyed the gospel, but you've fallen away, the message is the same for you tonight. You need to repent and he will forgive you. So if you have any spiritual need, please come forward while we stand and sing the song of invitation.